Let's go to line number one right now. Welcome one of our regulars, Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find them online at columbusconstruction.org. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me back. How's everybody in Cleveland doing today?
We're doing good. Good, kind of somber here after watching that World Series come to an end. I was looking at Houston. I'm thinking, boy, the Indians should have been there. They should have been there. And I think they could have taken the whole thing. I really do. But
I agree wholeheartedly with you. They had the pitching to do it. Just baseball is a tough game. Baseball is a funny game sometimes. You know, not always the best team wins. So. Yeah. But I agree with you. It was kind of somber watching the World Series. Especially from my standpoint, you know, just, you know, I appreciated the Dodgers and the Astros and the season they had.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that was the two best teams in the World Series, and I didn't have any rooting interest. So while I was watching and while I was interested, because I love baseball and I love the World Series, I wasn't wholeheartedly in it, I guess.
I hear you. You know, the only good thing was after what Houston went through with Hurricane Harvey, they had those Houston Strong patches on their uniforms. That was good. It was a great morale booster. Now, obviously, too, that's the first time they won the World Series, so that's definitely good in their behalf. But hey, you know, baseball's, before you know it, spring training is coming.
That's right.
You gotta look.
That's right. I think we're 105 days away. This morning. So.
But who's
we're gonna? Yeah, you know.
So. Yeah. Who's counting though? Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Tell me about this community benefit agreement with the city of Columbus. I was mentioning this at the top of the show, and you got it on one of our talking points. I figured if you want to talk about it, something must be good happening down there. What's the story?
I tell you, this was tremendous. The city of Columbus has never, ever utilized project labor agreements on any city projects ever in the history of City Columbus. Never, ever, no project labor agreements. So to give you a little backstory and a little history, you go back a couple of years, and a very good friend of mine who I've talked about him on your show before, he's been a friend of mine for almost 20 years now since he was a student at Ohio State, on city council, Zach Klein. And then Andrew Ginther, who's our mayor now, was president of City Klein, or president of City Council. I can remember meeting with them 3-4 years ago when I first took over this job, and obviously meeting with them before them to talk about different labor issues in my capacity as business manager for insulators. And the conversations we always had were project labor agreements, how they're beneficial for the community, how they help put people to work, how they instill the fundamentals of apprenticeship, you know, which is a good paying job, path to the middle class, tuition free, you know, training, safety, health benefits, all that stuff. So we constantly had those conversations, but the mayor at that time just wasn't all that interested in entertaining those. So when Mayor Ginther, you know, contacted me to let me know that he was going to be running for mayor 2 years ago, obviously that's one of the first conversations we had. And the two promises he made to me, and the two promises that he's kept, I say to me, to myself and the union members here in Columbus, Central Ohio, is that he was going to put on a labor liaison so that way that we could, you know, any issues or any things that were coming up with labor, but also to try to make Columbus more of a labor-friendly city. He did that. He put on Barry Pickett, who's a retired business manager from the sheet metal workers, who's doing a tremendous job as Mayor Ginther's labor liaison, and he promised to utilize project labor agreements on city projects to help a lot of these young kids and adults here in the city of Columbus be exposed to these building trades programs and the opportunities that are right here in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the mayor established a labor advisory council. We've been meeting, exploring different issues with the city, the ways we can help the different neighborhoods, parts of the city that really need the help, and the community as a whole. And we identified Fire Station 35, which is about an $8 million job. It's a perfect size job to use this truly historic community benefits agreement on, because it's a smaller scale job. And then when this job's over, we can tweak it, you know, see what worked good, see what worked, maybe didn't work so well. And we can fix it up and continue to use it in the future. But the Labor Advisory Council and Mayor Ginther and also his staff, two people I cannot forget, along with Barry Pickett, were Brian Clark and Steven Sayre. We identified that Fire Station 35, and we went to work on this community benefit agreement. And, you know, a lot of people may say, well, what's a community benefit agreement? It's basically a project labor agreement with community benefits instilled into it. And the National Building Trades is partnering up with the NAACP, Columbus Urban League, all kinds of organizations throughout North America in some of these cities that have been hit hard by the recession in 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. but also some of these cities where, you know, maybe manufacturing is left. And we talk about it all the time. Building trades jobs cannot be exported. So I think it's very important for us to work with these community organizations, these other community leaders, these elected officials, to let these kids know that these training programs exist, but they only exist if we have a job to place them in. And this community benefit agreement is the first step on a great path and a great partnership with the City of Columbus and Mayor Ginther to, I think, make this happen.
That's fantastic. How long does the agreement go?
The agreement is a site-specific agreement. It's only for Fire Station 35, mm-hmm. and we're going to meet. The Labor Advisory Council and the board is going to meet throughout the project to make sure that, you know, things that that labor agreed to do, which a lot of it we're already doing, but we're going to step up our efforts. You know, outreach events and what we call here Columbus, we have Celebrate One neighborhoods, which there's 8 neighborhoods in the City of Columbus, which unfortunately some of the zip codes rank right up there near the top to some of the poorest areas of anywhere in the United States with infant mortality, unemployment, drugs, poverty. So we're going to do some outreach events in those, because I know I've talked about it on your show before, but a lot of the issues that we're facing in some of the rural cities where, again, manufacturing your jobs is left, or in some of the inner cities where manufacturing jobs is left, are very similar. It's crime, it's drugs, it's poverty.
Right.
Or it's drugs, poverty, and crime, or it's poverty, drugs, and crime, and they're all three interrelated. And the way, in my opinion, the silver bullet to remove a lot of that is with education and job training, and that's what our apprenticeship programs offer. Education and job training that's tuition-free, that puts people on the path to the middle class.
Boy, you hit it right on the head. A good job and a training program that's tuition-free. I can't understand. I know it's been difficult. You and I have had this conversation over the years, getting into the schools, because the kids, I know college is important. They want to get a job where they're maybe not going to get their hands dirty, but nonetheless, a lot of those jobs just aren't around, and there is demand in the trades. I mean, Dorsey, you probably get calls every day for workers, don't you?
Absolutely, and I have to credit Mayor Ginther, President Zach Klein, and City Council, their leadership and their vision, especially Mayor Ginther. He said this in his first State of the Union, how apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship and other areas around the country, they're calling it maybe apprenticeship readiness, but pre-apprenticeship, how it's going to help remove a lot of these barriers for a lot of these citizens and adults here in the City of Columbus and throughout Franklin County to put them on the path to apprenticeship. And we established together, Labor Advisory Council and the mayor's office, a community benefit fund where the mayor is going to front load this fund with $50,000. He's going to give the City of Columbus City Schools $165,000 to help institute building trades preparedness programs for kids 8th grade through their senior year, so that way they can be, again, exposed to the building trades, but also be taking some of the core curriculum, so that way when they graduate, they're ready to step into our programs. But also in the meantime, this community benefit fund, which we're partnering with him on, every worker that works on this job is going to donate a nickel an hour to this community benefit fund, so labor has some skin in the game as well. This community benefit fund is going to be used to help eliminate barriers for residents of the City of Columbus looking to get into our pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship programs with transportation, tools, scholarships, maybe clothing if they have a hard time, you know, with work clothes, boots, safety equipment maybe that's not covered under our collective bargaining agreements. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to utilize this agreement not only for this job and to produce a product for Mayor Ginther that's going to be built on time, under budget, and done safely, but also we're taking some social responsibility, too, to continue to resemble the neighborhoods in which we work and to try to get more City of Columbus members into our programs. And you know, I just mentioned a laundry list of barriers that may keep, you know, doesn't matter, black, white, male, female, urban, rural person from getting into our programs. The number one barrier that people forget, that is a huge barrier that keeps people from getting into our apprenticeship programs and you know this, Flash, we've talked about on your show, is the removal of a lot of these hands-on or shop classes that were in the high schools and middle schools. That's the number one barrier. Some kids graduate from high school, and they may have their reading, they may have their algebra and their geometry and all this, but they don't know how to read a tape measure. They don't know how to divide, multiply, subtract, and add fractions. They don't understand how to use basic hand tools. And that's what this community benefit fund is going to do. It's going to expose a lot of these kids. We're going to have some summer schools and some initiatives in the summer at the rec centers, at our training centers, for these kids to expose them at a young age to the building trades. So we can get them on the path to the middle class. That's going to benefit our whole community.
I love it. I love it. It can be turned around, no doubt about it. All right, Dorsey, got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the building trades conference in Las Vegas. And also the retirement of Pat Tiberi, which could change up things politically. It's all part of America's Workforce. Also coming up later in the broadcast, our Mother Jones segment with Russ Choma. Great story about a bribery prosecution. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. The Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here.
A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs, because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. This segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment, 216-666-2185 or ulagency.org. Let's go back to line number one and go to Dorsey Hager once again. Dorsey, of course, is the Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right. Talk to me about Las Vegas. I know it's a tough time to be in Las Vegas.
It was very tough. 85 and sunny every day.
Oh, my gosh. So this was the Building Trades Conference, right?
Yeah, so the North American Building Trades had their annual leadership conference. It was in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. I had the ability to go out and attend. Ohio was well represented with other building trades leaders from around the state. Dave Wondolowski there in Cleveland, Mark Johnson, Bill Hutchinson, Kyle Brown, just a ton of great building trades leaders throughout the state. Obviously, our state building trades leader, Dennis Duffy, was there as well. They gave a lot of political updates on Davis-Bacon, and I don't want to misquote because I don't have my notes in front of me, but I think that there's been, since President Trump took over, I think there's already been 12 attempts to do away with Davis-Bacon. In Congress. That's obviously on our radar. We talked last month when I was on the show about the appointment of the Supreme Court Justice and how National Right to Work is probably right around the corner, which is unfortunate. So they were giving some labor updates on that, talking to us about how important it was to work with our local Congress people and obviously our senators. They were also talking about what we talked about in the first segment here. Today, they were talking about apprenticeship readiness and pre-apprenticeship programs and reaching out to communities around the country to instill that local workforce and that diverse local workforce to benefit the building trades. And some of the community benefit agreements, not only were using with cities and counties, but also using with public entities too, and port authorities to guarantee that projects were done on time, under budget, and safely, but also with a local skilled workforce and a diverse workforce. So it was a lot of information, a lot of things crammed into 2.5 days, but it was incredibly beneficial. I enjoyed being out there listening to Sean McGarvey and Brent Booker and everything they had to say. And I tell you what, those two guys leading the North American building trades are just doing a tremendous job. It's just everything, the communications, the website, the political activity that they're doing, just everything. And we talked at the beginning, obviously, about Houston and the hurricane that hit there and the amount of work. It's unfortunate that that area was hit with that hurricane, but the amount of work that's going to be down there, I mean, we're talking in the hundreds of billions. I think they said over the next 10 years, $350 billion worth of reconstruction work is going to be going on down there. They're going to need well-trained building trades members to do that work, so we've got to make sure that we're ready to answer the call.
Wow.
But it was a great conference out. Tremendous conference.
Did you say $350 billion over 10 years?
$350 billion. That's the very conservative estimate right now. And that's and Sean McGarvey said that in his opening comments. He said, obviously, we're not going to do all this in the next 12 months. This is going to take the rebuilding of the Gulf Coast and specifically Houston in that area and Galveston is going to take years. This isn't going to happen overnight. And the conservative estimate right now is $350 billion over the next 10 years.
That's amazing. There's so much work that needs to be done in this country. I was mentioning before about the infrastructure, and I heard quotes of $4 trillion is needed right now to get it going. And, you know, and nobody's doing anything in Washington. I mean, all they're doing is trying to take away health care. Now they're, you know, trying to get these tax cuts going. I mean, where's the conversation on that issue?
And that's the unfortunate thing. And I know we talked in the past about, I've been meeting with members of the AFL-CIO and other building trades leaders with our Congress people here in Central Ohio to talk about the NAFTA negotiations. And it's like not even on anyone's radar right now because it's health care and it's tax cuts. And, you know, I know that President Trump campaigned on infrastructure. And I know on day one when he was in office, and you and I talked about this back in February, he called over the national building trades to Sean and Brent. And they brought some of the other building trades leaders who were in D.C. at the time. And he looked Sean right in the eye and he said, "Your members voted for me." And he was right. 56% of union members voted for him. He said, "Your members voted for me, and they're going to vote for me again. You know why? Because I'm a builder, and I build things." And he talked about this $1 trillion infrastructure bill, which you said, now everyone's looking at it saying $1 trillion, that may be just a drop in the bucket, as our infrastructure has been beyond disrepair for so long. It's now closer to $4 trillion.
Yeah.
But nothing's being done on it in Congress. Nothing's being done on it. And the Senate, they're taking up all these other issues and all these other bills that really are not, I don't want to say progressive, but they're just fundamental in putting people back to work and keeping people to work.
Mm-hmm. And it would help the tax structure, too. You get more people going to work, they're going to pay taxes.
That's exactly it. The criticism on Clinton in the 90s was that he raised taxes, but it wasn't only that he raised taxes a little bit, but it was that he created so many new jobs and you had so many more people paying in to the tax base. He increased the tax base. That's what helped the economy in 7 out of his 8 years that he was in office. That's why there was a balanced budget.
That's right.
That's the key.
We didn't have the deficit we have today.
No, that's exactly right.
Yep.
Exactly right.
Okay, we got a retirement here. It's Pat Teaberry, and Pat's been a longtime legislature in the Columbus area, right?
Exactly. I think he's been in Congress for 18 years. I think the seat he took was, held by Governor Kasich before Pat took that seat, I'm almost for sure. So the night before I flew out to Vegas, I had an early flight to Vegas for the North American Building Trades Conference. The night I flew out, I was staying in Columbus and kind of doing some things, wrapping up late. And I called a friend of mine who she knew I was in town, and we had a late dinner and we were talking and stuff about different things. And she's somebody that's in the know in Columbus, knows everything, works closely with a lot of legislators and lobbyists. And I said, "Hey," as we were leaving and I was paying the check, I said, "Hey, I need you to do me a favor tomorrow." She's like, "Sure." I said, "Go into work." I said, "I'm hearing this horrible rumor about Pat Teaberry that he's going to be quitting Congress." I said, "Go into work, talk to your people, talk to your friends, see what you hear. She's like, "Dorsey, I'm not even going to do that. That is so crazy, so out of left field, so ludicrous. Why would somebody on the most powerful committee, Ways and Means, who's been in Congress for 18 years, just walk away? I'm not even going to bring that up in my office tomorrow. And I said, okay. So the next morning, I get up early, get on my flight. Unfortunately, my flight, the internet was down on that flight, so I turned my phone off. And when I land and get to my gate, I turn my phone back on. I've got about 40 texts and about 18 voicemails. And the first one was from her, and I returned it. She's like, how did you know? And I said, I just heard. I didn't know. She's like, he just announced this morning he's leaving Congress. And I tell you that story to make my point that I think the reason, and I haven't talked to him since he decided to resign, but I think the reason he's leaving is like a lot of people, I think Jeff Flake, Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona, the same boat. They're so disgusted with going to D.C. and just banging their head against the wall and not getting anything done. And I know the passing of his mother recently, which was horrible. I know he's very close to his mom. And I know his dad is still alive, so he wants to be closer to his father. I know that had a lot to play into it. But I still have to think that he was very close to John Boehner. John Boehner was forced out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think that that had a lot to do with it. And I just think he's sick of banging his head. Now, my fear, and I think our fear here in Columbus from labor, is and we weren't 100% with Pat Tiberi. He was good with us on Davis Bacon and some other votes, and he was, you know, you could sit down and have a conversation and try to point him in the right direction. He was always open, had an open door policy for everyone in labor, and it was nice to go in and talk to him and stuff. But here's my fear. My fear is that the Steve Bannons of the world and the Koch brothers are going to come in to this Republican district. I think it's a +9 Republican RPI. They're going to come into this Republican district, and they're going to find somebody like a Chris Jordan who's way, way right of Pat Tiberi,
right,
and is 100% anti-labor. I mean, you check the boxes for right to work, wants to abolish Davis Bacon, wants to abolish the use of project labor agreements. They're going to find somebody like Chris Jordan. They're going to dump millions of outside money, and they're going to keep a good labor moderate from even thinking about running in that district. And I know there's a couple of Democrats that are thinking about running. I can't see it happening. Not with all the outside money, not with the 9-point-plus RPI. And then, you know, this is a topic for another show. People are talking about the Trump effect. You know, the polling is just not showing it. You know, Trump is unpopular, but in the congressional districts that he won the 2016 election, his popularity levels in those districts are still staying the same. The people that voted for him that are loyal to him are still loyal to him. You know, still loyal. So I'm very fearful of what's next, I guess, is what I'm going to say. The fear of the unknown.
Yeah, well, that's a good fear to have right now, because a lot of the moderates, I hear you, they're all jumping ship because they know that things aren't getting done. And they were sent to Washington for just that, to get things done. That's sad. Dorsey, we're going to have to run. I got Russ Choma on line number 2 of Mother Jones Magazine. We got to check in with him. You keep up the fight down there. We'll talk to you in a month, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on here again, Flash. Hopefully the next time we talk, we'll talk about the Cavs righting the ship a little bit and doing away with this 4-game losing streak as they continue to put the roster together and they start learning how to play together. So it's still early.
There you go.
A long season to go. Still early. But thank you so much again for the opportunity to talk to you, Flash. Have a good weekend.
Okay, keep the faith, brother. All right, Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central, Ohio Building Trades. Quick break. Russ Choma of Mother Jones Magazine coming up next. Don't go away.